The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon. While it's meant to be comedic informative, sometimes we have to get into things like child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Grains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, I am joined by Eric, the Deep State operative.
Hello, Akbar!
He is the new Ayatollah. That they had another election and he got the job. It's gonna be great. Yeah. Have you ever seen? I don't even know what group it was who did the bit, but it was basically the guys who tell Dernitz he's the new Fuhrer and he's all excited. And then they're like, "We've lost the war. You need to call Eisenhower and surrender now." And he's like, "God damn it!" And he basically just like asks the guys if they gave him one Heil Dernitz before he has to make the phone call and end the war. And they begrudgingly give it to him. They're like, Heil Dernitz. And he's like, yeah.
Are we the baddies?
Yes. It was them. It was the same group. And We are also joined by Steph. It's Steph.
I'm dead.
Yeah. Steph on 5-second delay. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Dead, but still able to talk.
Living dead girl. Yes.
Nice. No, I'm just at that 1 hour, and I was up late. Transferring shit on a thumb drive from my current laptop to the new laptop, and I was looking over my GIMP patterns in my pattern folder, and it took me like a day to create those.
So for people who don't know, GIMP is basically free Photoshop. It's she's not talking about her BDSM dungeon.
Yeah, no. And so, like, I have over 1,000 GIMP patterns that it took, like, over a day to organize and create. And I estimate it's going to take about a day to transfer them onto a thumb drive onto the new laptop. So that's going to be fun.
Yay!
But when you said Living Dead Girl, it reminded me, I was listening to the radio and this band comes on. And they're called Living Dead Girl. And I'm like, okay, they're a metal band. So I'm like, this has to be a Rob Zombie reference. And I look it up and they're like, no, the lead singer says this is a nickname she had when she was young. And because, I guess like there was some like complications with her birth and they didn't think she'd make it and she did. And I'm like, okay, but come on, Rob Zombie has to figure in there somehow.
Right. It's like, I get that it's a thing that came organically from you, but you have to know the other place this came from. So like, right. Yeah, it's just, oh man, it's very funny. Yeah. I've seen stuff like that where people get to something one way and you're like, but it's the other way too. And then they're like, no, it's not. And I'm just, okay, great. I'll let you have your thing. But unfortunately, no one is going to buy your story. Like, and even if they do buy your story, they're going to be like, you're leaning into the bit because of the more popular outcome, the more popular reason. So, hey.
Well, it's like, there's this band called All Gone Dead. And it's like, well, you can't tell me you don't like the Subhumans if you're a band called All Gone Dead, because it's the name of the Subhuman song. So there you go.
Yeah. And it's not like that's a common saying or anything.
No. Yeah. Everyone's having a great time. Everything's going great. It's really funny in a way, because when we get to like recording day, a lot of times I'll be thinking to myself, hey, I got a lot of topics to cover. But this week it's just brutal. It's like, it's just one dumb thing that's happening and it sucks. And I mean, there's like other stuff going on, like Christy Noem getting fired, but not really getting fired according to QAnon, because she got promoted to this fake thing that they made for her.
Yeah, she got kicked upstairs.
She got kicked upstairs to a room that doesn't exist. Right. Like, usually when you get kicked upstairs, you get kicked up to a corner office somewhere, but no, she got kicked up to the attic. They were like, hey, you're in the corner office, guess what? You're going to the attic. And the thing about this that is so funny to me is this is all a piece of the situation with QAnon, which is that Trump cannot fail. He must always win. He must always be successful. The movement must always be pushing forward at all times, ever closer to victory.
it's a constant game of heads I win, tails you lose.
Yes. But in order to maintain that game, they must make sure that you understand that there's never been a misstep. Trump has never made a mistake. If it looks like it's a mistake, it's really a clever trap he's luring the deep state into. And you hear that about that all the time. And so Naomi getting bumped upstairs, which was totally not a firing, is not bad. It is good. And Mark Wayne Mullen, the schmuckiest schmuck that ever schmucked a schmuck, is getting the new job, which is crazy. I love the idea of going from like senator to just some shit cabinet position. I remember when the Senate actually fucking mattered and people were like giving it, they'd give their firstborn to be a senator. And now this guy's like, senator, idiot that's at Trump's cabinet meetings. I'll take idiot at Trump cabinet meetings.
I like how you can just leave the Senate.
Yes. Yeah.
Like Trump decides on Monday that he wants this guy, and on Tuesday he hands in his resignation. I'm like, you're a senator. It's not like you were. It's not like you were working a 9-to-5 job, and you know you kept checking your Indeed every afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. and every state only gets two of you. There's a grand total of 100 senators in the whole country. You're one of them, and you're just, you know what? Fuck it. I want to be part of the Trump administration for the remaining 3 years left I got there. And then I'll just go to do my right wing podcast or whatever he's going to do after that. He's going to be like, the dream of all these assholes is to hold public office so they can become an influencer directly after. I mean, it's just the most.
Yeah, I'm 100% certain that was what Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Madison Cawthorn, for that example, had decided on the outset, that they saw being in the House of Representatives as a stepping stone in their career.
Yeah, into influencer. Oh my God. Yeah,
not exactly. A high mark. No. Just you know, a high profile position to get your face on the news.
Right, exactly. Oh man. It's just so ridiculous. But again, Trump can never fail. He can only be failed. Nothing is bad. Nothing is wrong. And when we get to the Iran stuff later, I'll do a really big jag about that. But what you just said actually unlocked. I love that we didn't even do like a pre-production meeting today. The three of us just got into the chat. I'm munching on Cheez-Its. Stephanie's being murdered by daylight savings time. I don't know.
I'm talking about eyebrows.
Right. Eric's like Charlie. He's like Eric. Ben Shapiro has large eyebrows. We all have literally nothing to say. We're just going to hit record and just fucking riff and get an hour in the can and call it a day. And that's the kind of bold, powerful research and forward thinking that we put into the pod every week. So I hope you listeners, I hope you enjoy the hardcore striving we do to bring excellence to you each and every week. But this reminded me that we had Lauren Boebert ask Hillary about Frazzle Drip at the deposition this week. Eric's eyes just rolled into his brain. He actually just rolled his eyes so hard into the back of his head. He just saw what his brain looks like.
I forgot about that until you said it. So it was like lightning striking me when you said that.
Right. It's just so ridiculously fucking stupid. And this immediately got QAnon all hot and bothered, because of course it would. And what's so frustrating about this is that this is what happens when you elect nuts to positions of power, and they're allowed to say nut questions to real people who are actually serious political officials and former politicians and so on. Hillary Clinton was a real person who did real shit, and now she's being asked about Frazzle Drip by a fucking moron. And it's like, yeah, this is great. And I was listening to the Alex Jones clips of him reacting to it and all this fucking crap. And so for those of you who do not know, which, again, this would be your first podcast of listening to Hell World if you don't know. But Frazzle Drip is the alleged name of a file that was on Anthony Weiner's laptop. Anthony Weiner was married to Huma Abedin. Huma Abedin was Hillary's assistant. This alleged file contains Hillary Clinton and Huma committing a brutal murder of a small child, drinking the child's adrenochrome-infused blood to obtain power, eternal life, whatever it is adrenochrome gives you. And The whole idea of this thing was that this was Anthony Weiner's way of making sure they wouldn't snuff him out if he betrayed them, that he had this document on file, which makes me wonder who recorded this shit and then thought Anthony Weiner was so important he would get it. Like, who was just like, Anthony Weiner's like, ah, boss, I'm working with Hillary. I'm really scared. And he was like, don't worry, son, don't worry. We got this video of Hillary brutally murdering someone.
I can assume Aberdeen didn't lock her computer.
Yeah, it was in Huma's murder porn files. And he was like, oh shit, my wife and Hillary brutally murdered a child together, got his thumb drive, stole the file off his wife's computer. That makes sense. That's great. Now, so again, you might be asking yourself, Mike, Weiner was arrested in 2016. How the fuck is Hillary still free? Beats me. These people can never explain that shit, that we've had Hillary cold on a murder charge for 10 years. And you read people talking about how, oh, they got Hillary on a perjury trap during this deposition. It's like, oh, really? They're going to give her perjury when we have, we got a snuff film that she starred in. Okay, great. I mean, like, this is a bit lower than getting Al Capone for tax evasion. Because guess what Al Capone didn't do? Murder someone and have his buddy recorded on an iPhone. That didn't happen. I think Elliot Ness could have got Al Capone for murder if he had the murder on tape.
Also, why is Hillary supposed to answer for shit that her husband did? And number two, if she had any sense, I mean, we're going back to Monica Lewinsky, and let's compare it to what Melinda Gates did. Melinda Gates was like, hey, fuck this piece of shit. I'm done with him. Why didn't Hillary do that like a long time ago? Because we've known Bill Clinton was a piece of shit for like a long, long time. I don't know. It just, why stay with a piece of shit for that long? I don't know. I just, I don't know.
We're not here to judge Hillary Clinton, but we're here to judge Hillary Clinton.
And yeah. Especially Bill. I just, you know, if they have an open marriage, that's fine. I'm not going to judge that. But I am going to judge his affiliation with Epstein. I'm going to judge the Clinton Foundation taking money from Epstein. I'm going to judge anyone who took money from him after his convictions. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. You're a piece of shit. That's my opinion.
Going out on the thinnest branch to oppose Epstein. Yes. Bold. Oh, man. How could you say something so brave and yet so controversial? I mean, just, but going back to this stuff about the frazzle drip is that this leads to people getting all into Pizzagate and this kind of stuff. And, it's just really annoying that we're having people rehashing this shit. And trying to pill people. That's the main part about all of this. It's like this Boebert doing this, which is the next attempt to introduce a new audience to Pizzagate and to try to get them hooked on this conspiracy bullshit. And that's what this whole Epstein thing has been for the long run, is that one idiot made an unsubstantiated claim about babies being eaten. And literally everyone now is talking about how the elites who rule our world are pedivore, cannibal, baby eaters who worship Satan. And it's like, no, they're not. It's bad enough that they're sex traffickers. It's bad enough that they do what they're doing. But I guess having sex with 15-year-old girls just isn't salacious enough for people anymore. It's just like,
I've been saying that about the cannibalism claims, because I can't remember if we've brought this up on the thing or not, but this is something I've been pounding the drum on, is that all these people are claiming that Jeffrey Epstein ate babies. And it's like, and that came from it, because it was in one of the files, but it came from like an unsubstantiated FBI tip line call. And they looked into it, and the guy's like, yeah, he ate babies. He's like, okay, can you give us any evidence, can you give us any details about that? No.
So, right, exactly.
Yeah. So it was,
I mean, the closest thing is that there was a tip that there might be bodies buried on his ranch. And I guess he did some kind of geological survey near the ranch. So that, hey, and you know, let's get some ground penetrating radar out there. Let's get some forensic archaeologists or whatever you call them.
Right.
Let's get Dr. Bones out there. That, hey, do some digging. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because we know that the one of his victims claimed that she may have had an ectopic pregnancy, and he did hang around with a lot of skeezy doctors. So, you know, maybe someone got pregnant. They got, a back alley abortion at the ranch and died or something. We don't, you know, that is a more likely scenario than they're eating babies.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just this whole thing. It's like, Jeffrey Epstein, you know, raping girls is not bad enough. Apparently we got to make him a cannibal too.
Right. Like that. This is the thing, is that in all of the actual evidence against Epstein, from the first time he was indicted and pled guilty of the sweetheart deal to the second time where he got arrested and then he quote unquote didn't kill himself, that entire time, nobody accused him of murder at all. Never, not once. All the investigations were into sexual assault and sexual trafficking and that kind of stuff. And it just wasn't enough for these people. So he became a murderous Satanist who was doing that stuff. And then that wasn't enough. And he became a murderous Satanist cannibal. And like, what? Why do you need to punch up Epstein? You don't need to do this. He was bad enough from the jump. Raping a bunch of teenage girls is bad. We don't need worse.
And that is not how it works. Andre Chikatila, Nathaniel Barjonas, Albert Fish, Jeffrey Dahmer, they didn't need, okay, Jeffrey Dahmer had an altar, but they didn't need Satanism as an excuse for being pedivores. They didn't. They just did what they did because they wanted to. They didn't need any excuses. And they had urges and they went with them. And even with Jeffrey Dahmer's one victim, a 14-year-old boy covered in blood, Cormorant, because he was Asian and cops didn't want to deal with, and a young Asian gay man covered in blood screaming in the streets, they just handed him back to him.
Yeah, he was Laotian, as I recall.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's your conspiracy, is that the cops knew this shit was going on and didn't stop it.
And that guy was allowed to continue being a cop for a good 10, 15 years after that happened.
Yeah. So they have this idea of how cannibalism works in this like ritualized setting. That's not how it works. You're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, it's so ridiculous that we can't just let evil enough be good enough. It's just
right. Nope. He's gonna be ripping out people's still beating hearts while screaming right. Kali Ma.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's just this insane need to make someone a cartoon villain, just an absolute cartoon murderous lunatic villain, when what he did was bad enough and traumatizing enough, and he has plenty of victims who deserve justice for the crimes he committed against them. But no. He is everything evil that has ever happened in the history of our world. He is Lucifer walking amongst us. And it's just so unrealistic and so childlike. It's just really aggravating.
But see, he has to be made into Lucifer because here's the thing. Evil is banal, and he looks like a normal person. He doesn't look evil, and people can't. Jeffrey Dahmer doesn't look evil. Ted Bundy doesn't look evil. Most of these people don't look evil, and people can't square that in their minds. Like that, like in the Addams Family movie, like the joke, she says, they ask, oh, well, what are you dressed as for Halloween? I'm dressed as a serial killer. They look like everyone else.
Oh, yeah. That was when me and Elle were doing Laser Quest back in the day, we had a Laser Quest lock in Halloween night, and he did not wear a costume, and he said that I'm a terrorist. We look like everybody. That was his outfit. And I went as Agent Smith, and I found out wearing dress shoes and playing Laser Quest all night's a really bad idea. My back was fucked after that. But yeah, it was fun though. But yeah, it's just this is boring. It's just a rich old asshole who looks like every other old rich asshole, getting away with crimes because he's powerful and has influence and is connected to people. And we just got to make it bigger and better and bolder and more terrible so that we can scapegoat everything upon it. And of course, for QAnon and the right and all this kind of stuff, for the people that refuse to actually want to admit what Trump was doing, it's got to be somehow transformed into, oh, it was all Bill and Hillary Clinton and Bill Gates and these other evil liberals who all did the bad stuff. And Trump is totally innocent. And it's just, it's so childlike. It's so ridiculous to try to imagine that everything breaks perfectly for you. None of your favorites are involved in anything bad. None of the bad guys are ever not involved in everything bad. I mean, these people are going to blame Obama and say that he's in the Epstein files, because go to hell, you.